Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Amen. I'm so excited about Summer Hunger Revival Nights. It's going to be an awesome time to get to pour into this community, and we're going to get to meet right here in the auditorium and have those evenings, I'm believing, for just powerful time in the presence of God. Listen, I just encourage you, I don't say this often, you do not want to miss those nights. Trust me, because if you miss it, you just miss it. And you won't be able, I mean, going back and watching it online or listening to it, that's all good and it's great. But there's something about being in the atmosphere when God is moving and God is speaking. And with that being said, this past Friday night, we had a ministry night at our new facility, and it was so wonderful to see many of you there. But if you missed it, you missed it, because we had my dad, Pastor Greg, he came over and he ministered, and he actually ministered to every single person in the room, and he gave prophetic words, and there was just so much in that was released about the church and about for the people. And I'll tell you what, I said this the other night, and I mean it. It was the most rewarding thing that I've ever experienced as a pastor. I've been pastoring now for 2 years and in a month, something like that, and since we started this church. And it was the most rewarding thing to just get to hear the heart of God encouraging and building up the people of God. And just so much, it was amazing how many good things were promised and spoken. And you have to hold on to those things and believe and stay in faith on those things. And I know that you're going to, but it was an awesome, awesome time. If you have your Bible, go ahead and stand to your feet and turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to those that were in Philippi. And this Philippi was the first church that was planted and birthed in the continent of Europe. And Paul was the one that planted this church. And he's writing to them, and he speaks many things to them in this book, but we're going to focus on what he said in the second chapter, verses 12 through 16. And I want to read this together as the body of Christ. We always stand just to show honor for the word of God, because we believe that it has the power to transform our life. So let's read together from Philippians chapter 2, picking up in verse 12 down through verse 16. Paul writes, and he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." Listen to this. "Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run or labored in vain." Let's pray this morning together. Father, I ask that you would give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you would anoint me to preach and teach your word. I pray for every single person that's here that these words would be full of life, that they would impart wisdom, understanding, grace, peace, even the conviction of the Holy Spirit today. God, reveal to us what is wrong and reveal to us what is right, that we may walk in your path. And as the scripture says, hold fast to the word of life, being not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Let this be a quickening moment in our life, I ask, God. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that instructs and leads and guides us. And I pray that he would be here with us today. May the presence of God permeate this facility as the word of God is being preached. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I had something completely different planned that I was going to share with you this morning. I had a whole different sermon with different scriptures and a different title, and everything worked out. And then as I was preparing yesterday, I was spending some time with the Lord. He completely changed my plans, and I'm so thankful that he did, because how many of you have learned and you've known as you've walked with God that his plans are not always your plans, his ways are not always your ways. But the good news in that is that his ways are always better, his thoughts are always better, his way about doing things is always so much greater than you or I could ever possibly come up with. So I'm thankful that by his grace, he revealed to me a different path that he wanted us to take today, and that is that the past 2 weeks I've talked about the downfall of discouragement. I've talked about the antidote to discouragement and how that can play out and we can access that in our life. And I felt like God wanted me to stay in that same vein in talking about the downfall of discouragement and something that comes with discouragement, because you'll notice as we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul gives a very specific instruction to the church and to us today as we read it and apply the word of God to our life. He says, I want you to do everything that you do without complaining and without disputing, without grumbling, without murmuring, without fighting amongst one another. I want you to do everything without complaining or disputing. So you may say, well, what does that have to do with discouragement? Have you ever noticed that when you get discouraged, one of the first things you want to do is complain? When something happens that you don't like, it's a disappointment, it's a discouragement, it's something that's coming against you, we are prone as people to be very quick to utter our complaint to God, to our spouse, to our coworkers, to our boss, to a random stranger that we think it's their fault because our burger didn't get made right and all they did was hand it to you and it was somebody else in the back that messed it up. But we're very quick to offer complaints. But the Bible says, I want you to do everything that you do. That means every thought. That means every word. That means every action. That means every place that you go and everything that you do. You need to check your Facebook and see, am I complaining about stuff? Because we think sometimes that just because we didn't say it, but we thought it, or just because we didn't say it, but we posted it. No, complaining is an issue and it's a problem. And I truly believe that complaining is a sin against God. And you can see that as you study out the scripture and you look at what he says, because the word sin literally means to miss the mark. And I can guarantee you that complaining is not the mark that God has set for you to hit in your life. So to complain is to miss the mark and is to sin. God's people, which I hope every single person here, you understand you're a child, you're called of God if you've surrendered your life to him. We are called and commanded to eliminate all and any complaining and disputing from our lives. What that means is it doesn't matter what your boss does or doesn't do. It doesn't matter what your spouse does or doesn't do, what your child's teacher does, what the person in front of you at Walmart or trying to figure out that checkout thing. You know what I'm talking about? The self-checkout. Self-checkout is the greatest, worst invention of all time. Because if it worked properly, it would be the greatest invention of all time. But it never works properly, making it the worst invention of all time. Because there is nothing like scanning something. And why do they have two barcodes on something anyways? But it never fails. I always scan the wrong barcode on something. It's like, this is an ineligible barcode. I'm like, then why'd you put it on here? Right? But it doesn't matter what happens in your life. There is never an excuse to give in to complaining. It's a trap that the enemy sets for you and I. Complaining is not supposed to be welcomed in our life, but rather it should be shunned and evicted by the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. By definition, here's what it means to complain. It means to express dissatisfaction. It also, if you look at the synonyms of the word complain, none of these are good. Listen to them. To whine, to criticize, to gripe, to attack. Here's my least favorite, to nag, or to fuss. So you could read the scripture this way. Do everything without whining. Do everything without criticizing. Do everything without griping. Do everything without attacking. Do everything without nagging. And do everything without fussing. Because God knows that there will be things in your life that will annoy you, will cause you difficulty, or you to have the feeling of dissatisfaction. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the feeling of dissatisfaction, but to complain is to express dissatisfaction. So really, it's to manifest the fact that you are not satisfied. It means that when we face something in our life that brings us problems, we should not be so quick to point out those issues and those problems in our life, but rather we should stand on the promises that even though there's a problem, our God has created us to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So that means every word, every thought, every action should be done without complaining. Why? Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What you say and what you don't say matters. What you express out of your heart. Paul said this. He said, whether I'm abased or whether I'm abounding, I have learned there within to be content. What does he mean by that? He means whether things are the way I like them or not, I'll be content. Whether things are good or whether things are bad, I'm not going to open up my mouth and begin to complain. Whether my boss is demanding or my spouse is understanding or not, whether the restaurant messes up my order or not, I'm going to resolve within my heart. I will do everything in my life without grumbling, without complaining, without causing a dispute. I will not give myself, listen to this, a pass on the word of God. Because complaining doesn't come from your mouth, though. It comes from your heart. Because sometimes we think, well, if I didn't have problems, I wouldn't complain. I would say this, sometimes you have problems because you complain. Sometimes you have problems because you continue to complain, and whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. And so we've got to be careful to make sure and realize that we don't complain because of our problems. If we complain, it's because there's a problem inside of us, not outside of us. Because we will all face problems and trials and situations in our life, but we don't complain because we have problems outside. We complain because we have problems inside, because we don't truly have joy. Joy doesn't mean that you have the absence of problems. Peace doesn't mean that nothing ever went wrong in your life. What it means is that the Holy Spirit is inside of you, producing the fruit and the ability to have joy despite the problems, peace in the middle of uncertainty and difficulty in your life. And so Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your complaints don't come because of outside circumstances. Your complaints because whatever's in the well comes out in the bucket. And we have to be careful to make sure that we're not complaining, because to complain means to manifest worry and doubt. It means to manifest that dissatisfaction. So what you're doing when you're complaining is you're revealing to everybody else, I'm not satisfied in here. There's something inside of my heart, something inside of my soul that isn't fixed, that isn't right, because the Bible says in his presence there's fullness of joy. What does it mean to have fullness of joy? It means that even though everything doesn't work out right, you're still okay and your heart is still right, because I've got joy down on the inside. And so when things come my way and I reveal and I manifest what is happening on the inside, I'm showing everybody, I'm showing myself that there is something inside of me that isn't right. It's not because something bad happened to me. It's because there's something inside of me. And so to complain is to manifest the dissatisfaction that is actually inside of your soul. So if you find yourself being someone that's prone to complain, quick to get upset, and to let everybody know exactly how you feel about it, realize you are manifesting the reality that there's something wrong on the inside. Because the word of God says, do everything without grumbling or complaining. Now listen to this. What does Paul start by saying in verse 12? He says, therefore, beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also much more so in my absence. He starts there. He's talking about the fact that they're an obedient church. They're an obedient people. They're obedient to the word of God. They're obedient to his spiritual leadership. But he's saying, now I want you to understand that you need to do everything without complaining and disputing. Why? Because you can be obedient, but if you complain, your complaint will work against your obedience. Because there's sometimes in our life that we will be obedient, but we'll complain the whole time while doing it. God will tell us to do something. I can't believe I have to do this. This is so dumb. This is so stupid. Why am I even having to do this? And what we don't realize, what Paul is trying to teach us, is you can be obedient and complain, and you'll miss out on the promise because your complaint undid your obedience. And so we have to be careful in our life to not be people who complain. Now, I preached this sermon that was a little bit different from this back in November of 2020. I went and looked it up because I didn't want anybody thinking, he's just taking old stuff and preaching again. This is what God told me to talk to you about today. And so I'm going to talk about it again, and I'm actually going to use some of the points that I used, because I think that we just need to be reminded sometimes of the disaster that complaining will bring about in our life. And I want to show to you three consequences of complaining, because the word of God lays them out very quickly. The first consequence of being someone who's quick to complain or doesn't do everything without complaining and disputing is the number one consequence that we should be most concerned about, and we should all put the most priority in our life in, is that it displeases the Lord. When you complain It's not just the expression of dissatisfaction. We have to realize the complaining that we utter, it displeases the Lord. I want to show you that in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read them to you. It says, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused." So not only is he displeased by complaining, but his anger is aroused through complaining. "So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of them in the outskirts of the camp." I'm just going to say it's a miracle some of us are sitting here today. It's a miracle the fire of God hadn't already burned your behind and sent you straight where you belong. It's just nothing but the grace of God. "Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them." When we allow our heart to dwell in discontentment and worry and doubt, and we don't trust God to provide or to come through, but rather we start to complain against him and we murmur, it displeases the Lord. Why? Because we are going against what we're created to do. You were created to worship. You were created to praise. You were created to give God glory and honor and majesty. And to complain is the very opposite of what it is that you were created to do. Because we were made to bring him pleasure. Remember what it says in Philippians chapter 2? It is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God wants to reveal his pleasure through you. But he can take no pleasure in a mouth and a heart that is complaining. So, let me ask you this, how many parents are in here? Has your child complaining ever brought pleasure to your ears or to your heart? You know, "I don't want chicken nuggets, I want a hamburger." Say it again, baby, that sounded so cute. Let me get a video, I want to remember you doing that. It just brings me so much joy when you complain about what I feed you. I spend my hard-earned money on this food and you don't even want it, right? That's just, I love it. No, none of us as parents are just overjoyed when our children complain. So why do we expect God to be pleased with us? "I don't like this job. I don't like this church. I don't like this car. I don't like this spouse. I don't like this problem that I'm facing." God's up there just going, "Say it again, baby. I love to hear it." Not really. He's displeased. His anger is aroused. His heart is troubled. But you know what he is pleased by? Thanksgiving. So we need to learn how to empty ourselves of such thoughts and fill ourselves with such faith and hope and trust and confidence in him that even when problems come, we say, "I know that in the midst of problems, you're still God. I know that in the midst of trouble, you'll still come through. I know that you will always make a way of escape when the enemy comes to trap me in and it feels like everywhere I turn, everything's going wrong. I know that you're still good. I know you're still God. I know you still love me. I know you're going to make a way of escape." So instead of complaining, I'm going to praise you in the midst of this situation. That's why the book of James says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing in your life." He's pleased through thanksgiving. You know what? Just like it displeases me when my children complain, it pleases me when they say thank you. There's nothing like when you give your child something. Little Zoe yesterday, I gave her a snack, and she said, "Thank you, Dad, for a snack." In her little sleepy voice when she woke up from her nap, I just wanted to wrap her up, and I wanted to eat her like she was eating that snack because it was just so sweet. You know what it makes me want to do, though? It makes me want to bless them again. Yeah. Makes me want to shower more and bestow more blessings and favor on their life because it makes me realize that what I did matters to them. And it's the same way with the Father. If complaining displeases him, then thanksgiving honors him, glorifies him, and pleases him in our life. So the number one thing that complaining does that we should be most concerned with, because as a Christian, your number one responsibility is to focus on bringing God pleasure. That's your number one goal as a Christian, not to get more blessed, not to get more favor, not to make more money. Your number one goal as a Christian is to please God. That's why we were created. So we need to eliminate complaining because it displeases God. The second thing that complaining will do in your life is it will hinder the fulfillment of the promise. Another way to say this is complaining will keep you from conquering. I've seen it in so many people's lives. I've never seen a conquering complainer. People that every time something goes wrong, they're the first one to pipe up negative. They're the first one to say how ridiculous it is and what a problem it is. But you know what? Anyone I've noticed in life that they're a conqueror, they're victorious, they're triumphant, they keep positive things on their mouth. They always are praising God, thanking God, blessing God, even in the midst of trials. And let me show you this, because as you keep reading in the book of Numbers, in chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them," listen to this, how pitiful, "if only we died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, they got a committee together, and they said, "You know what? Let's select a new leader and let's go back to Egypt." And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He'd had enough by this point. He said, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me?" He said, "I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." Some of us need to understand that. Sometimes God will take the very thing that you say and make you live it out. So when you're complaining, be careful, because God might say, if that's how you want it, that's how you'll get it. He says, "The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except," listen to the two people that are chosen out from among this, "except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, except for them, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I will make you dwell in." You're not going to conquer. You're not going to receive the promise. Why? How many? Four times in that passage it says complaining. They complained. They complained against me. How long do I have to listen to them complain? Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that didn't complain despite the problems, but they said, "No, we can take it. We can make it happen. God is for us and not against us." They believed that with the help of the Lord that Israel could take the land. And because of that, God said they'd be the only ones that would see that promised land. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory." You know what Joshua and Caleb did? They didn't complain. They said amen, which means so be it to the promises of God. Meaning, if God said it, I believe God can do it. They didn't waver concerning the promise, just like Abraham. There are promises that God has for your life, so don't die in the wilderness. Keep believing, keep hoping, keep enduring, keep trusting, keep uttering your amen. Just keep saying, "God, so be it. You promised it, so I know that you can do it. You said it can happen, so I'm believing it's going to happen. Even though it doesn't look like it's going to happen right now, I'm not going to complain, because I realize that my complaining displeases you, and it puts roadblocks between me and the promises that you have prescribed for my life, because complaining will keep you from conquering. I guess God forgot about me. I guess I didn't really hear his voice. Hadn't seen it happen yet. I guess it's just not, you know, ever going to come to fruition." What we don't realize is we are speaking against the promises of God when we talk like that. But instead, we should be saying, "No, I believe that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me." Wherever he led you, listen, he has a plan. So don't complain and don't give up, okay? So, number one, complaining displeases God. Number two, complaining will keep you from getting to God's promises for your life. Number three, complaining influences others to do the same. Numbers chapter 14, as you keep reading down in chapter verse 36, it says, "Now the men whom Moses sent out to spy the land who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing up a bad report of the land." Now, you have to understand that there were 12 spies sent out. When they came back, 2 had a good report, 10 had a bad report. But in the camp, there were millions of people. And the bad complaining report of 10 influenced millions to no longer trust God. See, they trusted him when they started on this journey. They believe we're going to see the promised land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. We're delivered out of the bondage. But now all of a sudden they're saying maybe we should just go back to Egypt because they're complaining. I think I'll join and jump boat and jump ship and I'll start complaining too. What you don't realize when you complain is you are setting an example for your children. And you're influencing them to be complainers. You're setting an example for your coworkers. You're setting an example for every single person that is around you. And you are not just setting an example, but you're influencing them to talk and to act the same way, which will keep them and rob them of walking in victory and will make them displease the Lord. And we have to take this serious because listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. He said that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, amongst whom you shine like lights in the world. Now, to understand what he's talking about, we have to go back to verse 14. He said, do everything you do in the grocery store, in the job, in your neighborhood. Do it all without complaining because you are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation of a culture that is full of complaining, but you need to shine like lights and people need to wonder about you. Why don't you complain? Why don't you murmur and get upset? How is it that you don't allow these things to ruin your life and you're not always complaining? What is it different? You can understand I'm a light bearer in the midst of darkness. I'm a thanksgiving person in the midst of a culture that complains. You see, culture has led us to believe that it's okay to complain as long as we have valid reasons for our complaints. We think, oh, I'm not complaining. I'm just stating facts, right? I'm just stating the fact that the gas prices are high. I'm just stating the fact that groceries have gone way up and that inflation has become a problem. I'm just stating the political issues that we're facing today. No, you're complaining and you're displeasing God and you're hindering yourself from walking in victory and promises and you are also influencing other people to do the same. You see, we aren't called to be like everybody else. We need to stop allowing culture to dictate our level of devotion. I'm devoted to God's word, and his word tells me I need to do everything in my life without grumbling and without complaining. What you're doing, and we don't realize this, but when we complain, we're giving access to the enemy to sow even more seeds of discouragement and doubt in our life because the enemy has zero access to the life of the believer. Unless we give it to him. That's why Peter would write and say that your adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a lion. You know what he's doing? He's seeking whom he may devour. That means there are some that he may not devour. Why? Because they're not giving him access. They've got the blood of Jesus covering them. They have the protection of God. But when you complain, you're opening up the door and saying, over here, come on over here. I'll give you access to my life because misery loves company. And whether you know it or not, the devil's a very miserable person. And when you start opening your mouth and expressing your misery and your dissatisfaction, the enemy's going to say, there's a camp that I can go hang out in. And so you are giving the enemy access to your home, to your life, to your heart when you open your mouth and you start complaining. And we typically don't complain just to ourselves, but we drag other people into it. And we influence them to do the same. So I want to encourage you with this. Be a positive influence. Because if a merry heart does good like a medicine, like we talked about last week, then a complaining heart would be like poison. What we don't keep in mind is that when we complain, and listen, Christians are very quick to judge people that drink too much, people that smoke too much, people that curse too much, people that step out on their spouse, and I'm not justifying any of those things, but Christians are very quick to justify complaining. Very quick to say, oh, I'm not complaining, I'm just sharing my heart. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating valid points. And I'm sure that you will understand this. You know, I was thinking about this morning. It's very easy to communicate something with someone that already agrees with you. Have you ever noticed that? It's harder to explain something to someone that doesn't agree with you. It's like there can be something that you believe wholeheartedly in, but you start trying to explain it to someone and you're getting that closed off kind of vibe from them. And you're getting that idea that they don't quite see eye to eye. And all of a sudden your words don't make sense anymore the way they do when you were talking with your friend that thinks just like you do. But a lot of times it's so easy to complain with other people because we're speaking the same language, baby. I have a hard time talking with people that only speak Spanish because I don't speak Spanish. But a lot of times you'll realize there's some people you get around and it just flows like a river. And because you're complaining, they're complaining. And listen, it feels good because sin is pleasurable, but for a moment. And then you say something like, "Whoa, I just need to get all that off my chest." No, what you need to do is go get in your prayer closet and talk to God about it for a little bit so that you wouldn't be pouring poison into other people and letting them pour poison back into you and causing more and more issues and inviting more and more problems in your life. And the only way you think you can fix those problems is complaining about them, which is just heaping more problems back on your life. So you need to learn how to shut off the valve of complaining and say, only blessings are coming out of this mouth. Only faith is going to cross through these lips. I'm not going to pour poison into my children. I'm not going to be somebody that when they mess up my order, I start complaining. Yeah, that's what COVID did to the world. Nobody wants to work anymore. Nobody does a good job anymore. You think that you're just being all high and mighty and righteous because you didn't succumb to some of the things that other people did during COVID. But what you're really doing is you're training and teaching your spouse and your children and the people around you that it's okay to complain and displease God. Why? Because I have a valid reason. Because they messed my Big Mac up. Because they didn't treat me with the kindness that I expect and I deserve. Well, the Bible didn't say that you can only be nice to people that are nice to you. In fact, Jesus said, if you're only kind to people that can do something good back to you, you're no better than a Pharisee. And so I want us to be a culture. I want us to be a people that we decide. I'm not saying you'll never mess up again. I'm not saying that you'll never let something slip. But when you do, you say, Lord, please forgive me and cover me. Please cut that off from my mouth and let that no longer be attached to me. And I want us to be a people that we say, I want to do everything without complaining, without disputing. To complain is to sow seeds of discouragement and doubt into the lives of others. When we complain, we're influencing other people to become discouraged, to become anxious, to become angry, to be doubtful. But think about it. You are being a vessel of the enemy when you complain. You're carrying out his seed instead of the seeds that God has placed in your life for you to carry out. But I want to remind you of what Paul said you are to be. He said, you are a light bearer. He said, you're supposed to shine like lights in the world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So I want to encourage you with this. When other people doubt, when other people complain, you stay in faith. You keep trusting God. You keep the word of God upon your mouth. One of my favorite scriptures, in fact, we'll go there in closing. Saxon, if you'd come join me this morning. Romans chapter 4, if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. I want to read about Abraham, who's known as the father of faith. Why? Because Abraham stayed in faith even when it didn't look like it was going to happen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, speaking of God, had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, listen to this. It was not written for alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I want you to remember in every season, in every situation, Jesus Christ died and was raised to life so that I can not just walk into this situation, but walk out of this situation. And I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to displease the Lord. I'm not going to open up my mouth and sow the seeds of doubt and discouragement into others or into my own life just because things aren't going my way in this season and in this situation. Listen, God knew that you were going to walk through stuff that was going to annoy you, ruffle your feathers, and bother you. And he still said, do it all without complaining. And listen, God will never command what you cannot perform. Because I think sometimes we hear scriptures like that and we think, do everything without coming and do everything without complaining and disputing. I can't do that. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. On your own, you're not able to do it. On your own, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not wise enough. But with God, with the Holy Spirit inside of you, that's why Paul said, listen, not only my absence, but also, or not only my presence, but also much more my absence. He said, I want you to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And sometimes we hear that and we go, oh, how am I going to work out my own salvation? Well, you need to read the next verse. He says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. That word works is the Greek word energio, and it's where we get our word energy. And it means to be engaged in, to energize, or to be mighty in. So what you need to realize today is God will be engaged in your situation to help you not grumble and not complain. He will energize you and give you the strength that you think that you don't have to carry out your word. He will be mighty in your life to give you faith when you're feeling like you don't have faith enough, to give you strength in the face of adversity. And all you have to do is say, God, I want you to work in me so that you can work through me, because that's really what God wants to do. He wants to work in you so that he can work through you. But listen to me, God never works through people that won't let him work in. If you want God to work through you, first you must be willing to say, God, I commit my life to you as a vessel. Would you work inside of me? If that's your prayer today, would you just lift your hands all over this auditorium? Father, I pray that you would begin to work inside of us. God, I pray that, because when God works, sometimes he has to work out so that he can work in. God, I pray that you would work out of us the negativity, the complaining, the grumbling, the disputes that are inside of us, the whining, the fussing, the nagging, all those things that we're allowing, the frustration to come out of our mouth. God, we want purity to come out of our mouth. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to shun complaints and idle talks and babblings, the things that are trying to pollute us and get inside of us, so that we can stay in faith and we would not complain and not displease you and hinder the promise from coming in our life. God, that we would not pollute other people and influence them to do the same. But God, we want to be people like Abraham that stayed in faith. And as it says, it wasn't written just for him, but also for us. You will impute to us that faith and that righteousness that is needed to stay in you. So Father, right now, I pray that you would bring the change that we need in our hearts. Bring the change that we need in our minds. God, let not our circumstances influence what we say and what we do, but let what we say and do influence our circumstances. Instead of letting the mountain speak doubt into our heart, let us speak faith to the mountain and say, be thou removed. God, I pray that instead of allowing situations in our family to get us down and discouraged and depressed and upset, that rather we would say, I'm going to worship even in the middle of the storm. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to give him honor. Lord, I just ask that you would give us a strengthening in our spirits and a strengthening in our words to be able to declare who you are and what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. I speak a blessing over your people today. And if there's anybody here today, if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you find yourself and you say, you know what, I realize I haven't been conquering because I've been complaining. I've had a complaining spirit. I can feel the displeasure of the Lord. Don't leave here today without knowing that he can and he will take pleasure in you. If you just say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. We've become so accustomed to it because it's so prevalent in our culture. God, I ask that you would forgive us. So right now, just begin to repent. Just begin to confess those things. Say, God, I'm sorry for polluting others. I'm sorry for polluting my destiny. I'm sorry for displeasing you. Would you create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me? Would you place inside of me a heart that would speak and stay in faith? Forgive and cleanse me from all this unrighteousness so that I can be pleasing to you. so that I can be effective in the working of the ministry that you have for me. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. I just speak that blessing over you and your household today and rebuke complaining and speak a spirit of faith over you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. We love you.